بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. I start with the name of Allah. I praise Him and thank Him. I ask Allah to raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad and to protect his Muslim followers from whatever he feared for them. We are still talking about a period of our history during the Umayyad dynasty. We said in our last lesson that after Abdullah ibn Zubayr was killed in the year 73 Hijri, the Umayyad ruler Abdul Malik ibn Marwan appointed a man called Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi to be the governor of Medina. And when he assumed that position, he harmed the people of Medina, especially the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like Anas and Sahl. And also in the year 74, means a year after that, Al-Hajjaj rebuilt Al-Kaaba, which he himself had destroyed when he was using catapults, throwing fire and rocks at it. Then Abdul Malik removed him from this position of the governor of Medina, and he gave him the assignment to be the governor of Kufa and Basra, two important cities in Iraq at the time. And during his governorship, he ordered the killing of many Muslims unjustly, thousands of them. During that time, a man called Shabib headed a group of renegades of Khawarij, and they raided Muslims in different places, and they were very military to the extent that they came to the place where Al-Hajjaj is, his own palace, and the wife of Shabib prayed two rak'ahs, in which she recited long surahs, to show Al-Hajjaj that they could reach him without any problem. Later, Al-Hajjaj fought Shabib and was able to defeat him, and he was dead at the end. Shabib drowned in a river. Some good people, being unjustly treated for a long time, they came together and they rebelled against Al-Hajjaj. He fought them and he won over them. So this is what we said last. Now, the year 85 came in, and this ruler, Abdul Malik, the son of Marwan, wanted to make the caliphate given to his own children. He wanted that some of his children become the successors in that position. However, his father, Marwan ibn al-Hakam, had a will in which his brother, the brother of Marwan, which would be the uncle of Abdul Malik, that this man called Abdul Aziz, he would be the caliph after him. Now, people had paid allegiance to Abdul Aziz because Marwan had appointed him before he died. When Abdul Aziz knew that Abdul Malik wants his children to become the caliph, and he was an older man, he came and he told him, "Look, I'm very old, I'm soon will die. So I may die before the time to assume the caliphate comes." Means I may die even before you. So there is no need to compete, to fight about this position. So if you want to have your son the caliph, I have no problem. I have no, you know, argument with you. Subhanallah, Abdul Aziz died. So now the way was clear for the children of Abdul Malik to be caliphs as their father wanted. So Abdul Malik told people they should pay allegiance to two of his children, Al-Walid ibn Abdul Malik and Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik. So he had many boys, many, you know, sons, but he wanted the caliphate to be given to these two sons, Al-Walid and Sulaiman. And Abdul Malik himself died in the year 86 Hijri. So he would have ruled for 21 years approximately. 13 of these 21 years were after Abdullah ibn Zubayr was killed. Abdul Malik died at the age of 60 years. He, as we said, had many sons. The most famous among them were Al-Walid, Sulaiman, Yazid, and Hisham. And each one of those we named became a caliph later. And there was a son of his called Maslama, and this man led many armies, many Muslim armies in their war against their enemies. So this way, another ruler passed away. We had Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, the first. Then we had his son Yazid ibn Muawiyah. And then, after Yazid died, people wanted to give the caliphate to Muawiyah, the son of Yazid, but he refused it, and he died short time after that. And then Marwan ibn al-Hakam became the caliph, which means it's another branch of this Umayyad's family, Marwan ibn al-Hakam. And then after Marwan died, Abdul Malik came, and Abdul Malik died. So here are those who just ruled until the year 86. Now, we would like to digress a little bit. During the rulership of Abdul Malik, some important Muslim people died. So I'm going to just go over a few of them as we did in previous lessons in other times. Among those who died during the rulership of Abdul Malik, in the year 71, a companion of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam called Safina died. He was known as Abu Abdurrahman Safina, the emancipated or freed slave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Originally, Safina was a slave of Salama, one of the wives of the Prophet. She set him free, but she made a condition. She told him, I'll set you free, provided you keep on serving the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Safina told her, even if you did not set me free, I would serve the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all of my life. And Safina radiyallahu anha was very gentle and very sociable with the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Imam At-Tabarani narrated that Safina, this man, was asked, why were you called Safina? Because the word Safina means ship. So why were you called Safina? He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam named me, gave me this name, Safina. One time, he said, the Messenger of Allah went out with some of his companions, and their luggage, their things, became heavy on them. They could not continue to carry them. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said to me, why don't you lay out your coat, your overcoat, kisa? So I put it on the floor, on the ground. Everybody put their own, their things on this coat. And then the Messenger of Allah said, Ihmil ma anta illa safina. The Prophet said, Ihmil ma anta illa safina. So the Messenger of Allah said to me, said, carry this. You are not but a ship. You are not but a ship. So he said, from that day on, even if I carry, but on me, means on my shoulder, I carry the load of one or two camels, or five camels, or six camels, it would not be heavy on me. Even if they gave me the load of one or two or five or six camels, this thing would not anyway heavy on me. Of course, by the barakah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one time, Safina said, we were with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traveling, and when people would get tired, they would just put on me their swords, they put their, you know, shield on me, and they put other things on me until I carried a lot of their things. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said, Anta Safina, you are a ship. It means you can load, things can be loaded on you and you would not feel heavy. Al-Imam Muhammad ibn al-Munkadir, one of the great tabi'een, a mujtahid, a highly righteous person. He narrated from Safina that he said, one time I went on a ship sailing in the sea, and the ship broke down. So I put myself on a board, one of the boards of the ship, and the sea threw me to a place, and I came to a bushy area, and the bushy area had a lion in it. So the lion approached me. I addressed the lion by saying, Ya Aba al-Harith, Ana Safina, Mawla Rasulillahi, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, I addressed the lion by saying, Abu al-Harith, which is a nickname, a kunya for the lion. The lion has tens of names in the Arabic language. So Abu al-Harith, he said, means O lion. I am Safina, the slave of Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When I said that, the lion lowered its head and came and started like pushing me with his side, like snug me, until he showed me the way to go. And then he growled, hummed, and I thought that he was saying goodbye to me. In At-Tirmidhi, a man called Sa'id ibn Jumhan, Sa'id, the son of Jumhan, he said, Safina told me that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الخلافة في أمتي 30 سنة ثم ملك بعد ذلك. The caliphate means the righteous caliphate in my nation will be 30 years. After those 30 years are over, then there will be kingship, there will be royalty, there will be something where people would assume the head of the state because of blood. Then Safina said to me, this Sa'id said, we found that the sum of the years that the caliphs who ruled after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam added up to 30 years. So he said, أمسك عليك خلافة أبي بكر. Count how many years Abu Bakr, ruled. Then the Caliphate of Umar, then the Caliphate of Uthman, and then he said the Caliphate of Ali, and we found that the sum of these four caliphates added up to 30 years. Sa'id said, I told Safina, but Banu Umayyah, those Umayyads, claim that this caliphate is among them. The righteous caliphate is their caliphate. And Safina said, كَذَبُوا بَنُ الزَّرْقَى. Safina said, these children of Az-Zarqa are liars. They're telling lies. Az-Zarqa is a woman. Zarqa means a blue female. So that was her name. She was one of the mothers, early grand mother of this family of Umayyah. So he's just saying that those Umayyads, by saying the children of this woman, are liars. They are saying lies. بَلْهُمْ مُلُوكُمْ مِنْ شَرِّ الْمُلُوكِ. He said, in fact, they are liars. He said, in fact, they are kings among the worst kings. Among the worst kings. And At-Tirmidhi narrated from the route of Umar ibn al-Khattab and Ali ibn Abi Talib radiyallahu anhuma, they said, لَمْ يَعْهَدِ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي الْخِلَافَةِ شَيْئًا. Means the Prophet, before his death, never explicitly named any person to be his successor. He never said, X must be the caliph after me. He never did that. So, another narration, which is by Abu Dawood, this Sa'id said, I told Safina, these means the Umayyads claim, that Ali was not a caliph, means not a righteous caliph. That's what they mean. So Safina said, كَذَبَتْ أَسْتَاهُ بَنِي الزَّرْقَاءِ يعني بَنِي مَرْوَانِ. So he said, the rears of the children of Az-Zarqa are liars. He just means that they were telling lies. They were telling lies. The Banu Marwan, because Abdul Malik and others were descendants of Marwan ibn al-Hakim. This Sa'id that was narrating Safina's sayings was from Al-Basra, and he was a very trustworthy person. Now, we said that Abdul Malik died in the year 86. So in the year 69, means while he was ruling, among the very important, very famous and recognized people who died was a man called Zalim, the son of Amr. And he is very famous by the name Abu al-Aswad al-Du'ali. Abu al-Aswad al-Du'ali. He was the judge in Al-Kufa in Iraq. He was a very respected tabi'in, his companion of the companions. He embraced Islam during the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, he did not meet with the Prophet. That's why he wasn't a companion. And he participated in the camel battle, the battle of Camel, and died during the governorship of Abdullah ibn Ziyad. He is known to be the founder of the knowledge called Nahu, the Arabic grammar. And Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, when he was a caliph, Abu al-Aswad came to him and he said, our children are losing their skill in the Arabic language because they are mingling with non-Arabs. So they're losing their skill. So they're speaking now bad grammar and so on. So Ali ibn Abi Talib told him, okay, now we need to help them. And he told him how to start this knowledge, which is called ilm al-nahu. So he told him, for example, in Arabic we have a noun and a verb and article. Then Abu al-Aswad, upon the instructions of Ali, continued to bring up this knowledge called ilm al-nahu, the knowledge of Arabic grammar. So he died during, as we said, the time of Abdul Malik in the year 69. Also, remember Abdul Malik started in the year 65 and died in the year 86. Among those who died during the time of Abdul Malik was Abdullah ibn al-Abbas, the son of Abdul Muttalib, the son of Hashim, the son of Abdul Manaf from Quraysh and Hashim. And his kunya was Abu al-Abbas, Abdullah ibn al-Abbas. Abdullah, the son of Abbas, was also had, this is his name. His kunya is Abu al-Abbas. You know, usually some children would call their own children with the name, the same name as their father. So the child would have the same name as his own grandfather, especially the elder son. Abdullah wasn't the eldest, but still, his kunya was Abu al-Abbas. And he was the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Abbas was the brother of the Prophet's father, his uncle. So Abdullah was the son of this uncle. So he is the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The mother of this great companion, Abdullah ibn Abbas, was known as Ummul Fadl. Umm al-Fadl, Lubabah, the daughter of Al-Harith, and she is from Bani Hilal, Al-Hilaliyah. And this Lubabah, means the wife of Al-Abbas, was the sister of Maymuna, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Maymuna bint Al-Harith. So you could see how they're related to each other. Now, Abdullah ibn Abbas would be the ancestor, the grandfather, if you want, of the Abbasis who came after the Umayyads. After the Umayyad dynasty dwindled down, another dynasty came and ruled the Muslims called Al-Abbasiyun or the Abbasids. So all of these Abbasids who came later, they are attributed to this Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma. He had 10 brothers, male brothers, from this al-Fadl, from Lubaba and Al-Abbas radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. And Abdullah is the youngest among those sons. The oldest would be Al-Fadl ibn Al-Abbas, because his mother is al-Fadl, and Al-Abbas is Abu al-Fadl. Al-Fadl ibn Al-Abbas is the, if you remember, the young man who was riding behind the Prophet when a beautiful woman came during Hajj and asked him question. And when the Prophet noticed that the young woman and the young man were looking at each other, he turned the face of his cousin away from her and he answered her question. So Abdullah was the youngest among his brothers. And each of these sons of Al-Abbas died in a different land than the other. They went to different lands and they died in those lands. This Abdullah, radiallahu anhu, was born 3 years before the hijrah of the Prophet to Al-Madinah. And he was born in the area that is called Shi'bu Abi Talib. Remember when we talk about the seerah of the Prophet, we said during the Meccan time when the Prophet was living in Mecca calling people to Islam, his tribe decided to boycott him and all the Muslims, not buy from them, not marry them, etc. And then they had to be sitting in a place, in an area in Mecca, which was a very rough area, called Shi'bu Abi Talib. They were boycotted for 3 years there. The Muslims were, you know, suffering from lack of, you know, resources, from being away from other people, their relatives, being there, you know, boycotters and so on. So Abdullah ibn al-Abbas was born in that area 3 years before the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then when the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam died, he, Abdullah ibn al-Abbas, was 13 years old. Because if you say 10 years in Al-Madina and 3 years before, that will be 13 years. So he was a very young lad when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died. One man named Abu Bakrah said that Ibn Abbas came to us in Al-Basra, means later, of course, after the Prophet died and after the caliphs. He said, and when we looked at him, we did not see among the Arabs anyone who was as beautiful in body, as beautiful in clothes, and we haven't seen anyone who has more knowledge than this man, Abdullah. Someone described him as being white and tall, having some, you know, yellow color, but handsome. He had good hair, and he used to dye his beard with henna, as the sunnah is. Al-Imam al-Awza'i narrated that Sayyiduna Umar radiyallahu anhu addressed Abdullah ibn Abbas by saying, إِنَّكَ لَأَصْبَحُ فِتْيَانِنَا وَجْهَا وَأَحْسَنُهُمْ عَقْلًا وَأَفْقَهُهُمْ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. So Sayyiduna Umar addressed this young man, Abdullah ibn Abbas. He said, you are you have the most beautiful face among our young people, among our young men. And you have the best mind among them. And you have the most knowledge in the book of Allah, in the Quran of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he had a title among the Muslims. He was known as حبر العرب أو حبر هذه الأمة أو البحر أو الحبر أو الحبر. Also the مفسر of the Book of Allah and the ترجمان of Al-Quran. All of these mean that he is very knowledgeable about the Quran, means the tafsir, the meanings of the verses of the Quran that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So whenever you say Al-Habr, immediately people know that you are talking about Abdullah ibn Abbas. If you say Turjuman al-Quran, means the one who would clarify the words of Al-Quran, the verses of Al-Quran, immediately it's known among the Sahaba, the scholars, that it is Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu. Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi narrated from Ibn Abbas himself, he said that he saw Angel Jibreel twice. Abdullah ibn Abbas saw Jibreel twice. Now Al-Imam Ahmad radiyallahu anhu narrated from Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, he said the following. He said, Abdullah, I was with my father. Who was his father? Al-Abbas. So he said, I was with my father at the Prophet's place, alayhi salatu wassalam. And there was a man talking to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And while the Prophet is talking to him, his back was to his uncle, Al-Abbas. Means he was focused on the man, but not focused on his uncle. So if I'm talking to you, the person who's sitting next to me, he seems to him, I'm neglecting him, ignoring him. And that's how it seemed. So Ibn Abbas said the Prophet had a man and he was talking to him and he seemed as if he's, you know, turning his back to Al-Abbas, or his uncle. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam respected his uncle very much. He's just like he treated him as if his own father. So he wasn't doing it in a disrespectful way. He just was focused on the other man. So Al-Abbas, the uncle, noticed that. So when he went out, when he said, when we left the place, my father Al-Abbas said, did you see your cousin, the Prophet? Did you see cousin as if he was not paying attention to me, as if he's turning his back to me? I told him he had a man who was talking to him. Al-Abbas said, he had a man talking to him? I said, yes. So Al-Abbas went back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, O Messenger of Allah, when I was with you and Abdullah, did you have a person with you? Because Abdullah tells me that you were talking to a man. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Abdullah, you saw him? He said, yes. He said, that was Jibreel alayhi salam. So the Prophet was amazed that Abdullah was able to see Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, which means Allah enabled Abdullah. This was a karama for Abdullah ibn Abbas. Shows his high ranking. Then it is mentioned in more than one hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Al-Bukhari, Al-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, many riwayats, many versions or narrations, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam made dua for Abdullah ibn Abbas. He was young, remember? When the Prophet died, he was 13. So before the Prophet died, Abdullah ibn Abbas was his cousin. So he was accompanying the Prophet in different, you know, occasions. So one time the Prophet said, Allahumma allimhu al-hikmah. O Allah, give him the knowledge of al-hikmah, which means the tafsir of hadith. And one time Ibn Abbas said, the Prophet called me and he passed his hand on the front part of my head and he said, Allahumma allimhu al-hikmata wa ta'wil al-kitab. O Allah, give him the knowledge of the hadith and the tafsir, the interpretation of the book of Allah, the Quran. Ibn Umar, who means Abdullah, the son of our master Umar, said that his father Umar, when he was a caliph, he used to call Abdullah ibn Abbas and make him close to him. And he would say to him, I saw the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day he called you, and he passed his hand on your head, and he spat inside your mouth. And he said, Allahumma faqihhu fi al-deen wa'allimhu al-ta'wil. After he did this, the Prophet made a dua for you. He said, O Allah, give him the understanding of the rules of the religion and give him the teaching, give him the knowledge of interpreting Al-Quran. Also, Sa'id ibn Jubayr, one of the tabi'in, the followers, he said that Ibn Abbas told him one time he prepared some water for wudu. So he just brought some water, poured it in a container, and he had it prepared for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to make wudu from. And that was at the house of his aunt Maymuna. Remember, Maymuna is the wife of the Prophet, and she is the sister of his mother, Lubaba. So this is the house of the Prophet, but especially the house of Maymuna, one of his wives. So he did it inside her house, so he could go inside to his aunt. So when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam came, he said, who made this water, who brought this water? She told him, Ibn Abbas, Abdullah. So because he was happy, he said, Allahumma faqihhu fi al-deen wa'allimhu al-ta'wil. He made a dua for him. Oh Allah, give him the knowledge of the rules of the religion and the knowledge of interpreting the Quran. So, and there are many other, incidents where the Prophet made similar dua for Ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhuma. Al-Imam Az-Zuhri, one of the great scholars of hadith, he was one of those tabi'in. He said, the immigrants, al-muhajirun, means those Muslims who left Mecca and went to Al-Madinah, those are the among the best Muslims. They said to Umar when he was a caliph, why would you not summon our children, our sons, like you do to Ibn Abbas? Means you are the caliph. If you want to sit somewhere with good people, with older people, you always sent for Abdullah ibn Abbas, who was young. Because we said he was 13. And then Abu Bakr ruled for 2 years, that's 15. So when Umar became the caliph, he should be 15, 16 years old, like that. So they told him, he's a teenager. So he told them, why don't you call also our sons to sit with us? Of course, the habit was, young people don't sit with older people. Okay, that's not polite. So he said, they told him, why don't you call our sons just like you call Abdullah ibn Abbas? He said the following about him. He said, ذَاكُمْ فَتَلْكُهُولْ لَهُ لِسَانٌ سَأُولٌ وَقَلْبٌ عَقُولٌ ذَاكَ أَوْ ذَاكُمْ فَتَلْكُهُولْ لَهُ لِسَانٌ سَأُولٌ وَقَلْبٌ عَقُولٌ. He said, this Abdullah ibn Abbas, although he is young, his mind is like an older person, mature. And he has a tongue that asks questions, always wants to learn. And he has a heart which is wise. So it means I'm calling him because of these qualities that are in him. And then it is confirmed that Umar radiallahu anhu would allow Abdullah ibn Abbas to sit with the older companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he would say, ni'ma ترجمان القرآن أو نعمة ترجمان القرآن عبد الله بن عباس. He said, how good an interpreter of Quran is Abdullah, the son of Al-Abbas. One time, and this is in As-Sahih, Umar radiallahu anh asked those older sahaba, older companions, he said, what is the meaning of إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ? The surah that we know, surah إِذَا جَاءَ. So some people were quiet, did not answer. Some people gave an answer. But that answer was not, you know, Umar was not pleased with it. He did not, you know, accept it. Then Ibn Abbas, that teenager, was sitting there. So he asked Abdullah Ibn Abbas, what does this ayah mean? He said this ayah was an indication to the approach of the death of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because in it says, when the victory of Allah came and the opening of Mecca happened, then you would see people going into groups, large groups into Islam. And then in the Quran, in the surah, Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam is ordered by Allah to ask Allah for forgiveness and to repent to Allah, because Allah accepts repentance. So he said this means that the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam was close to die. And Umar, when he heard that answer, he was happy. He said, and I don't know any interpretation but this. Means I learned from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that it means that. And hey, I don't know anything else. It means his interpretation matched what Umar radiallahu anhu knew. And his questioning Abdullah ibn Abbas in front of these older companions is to tell them how great Abdullah was, how knowledgeable he was. He wanted to, confirm is good, but he wanted to make it a fact. In front of them, you keep on asking me why I bring him. Look, that's why I bring him, because he has knowledge about the meanings of the verses of Al-Quran. Radiallahu anhum ajma'in. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, another great companion, when you talk about the interpretation of Quran, number one is Abdullah ibn Abbas, and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud is number two or number one with him. So these are the two. So Ibn Mas'ud himself, he said, now if Ibn Abbas was our peer, means had the same, age as we had, nobody would sit with him. Because he has so much knowledge, then everybody would seem just And he said, نِعْمَ تُرْجُمَانُ الْقُرْآنِ Ibn Abbas. And he said the same thing about him, what Umar radiallahu anhu, how good an interpreter of Al-Quran is Ibn Abbas. Al-Bayhaqi narrated that. Now, Imam Ahmad said most of the knowledge that Ibn Abbas carried, knew, are from three companions. Umar ibn al-Khattab, remember he calls him, so he's sitting with Umar radiallahu anhu. Ali ibn Abi Talib, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Ubay ibn Ka'b, Ubay the best reciter among the companions, the most knowledgeable about the Quran, Quranic recitation. So most of his knowledge are from three. But Ibn Abbas said, I would have a question, and I would go at least to 30 companions asking them about the answer of this question. So he would not be satisfied by one or two giving the answer. He would go to about 30 companions to get the answer. Who among our children would do that? Who has this energy, this interest, this, great, appreciation of knowledge? May Allah make our children like that. Some people just ask question to one person, say, okay, I have it. Or, it's not important. I mean, I'll ask later. They don't take advantage of the opportunity open up for them. Radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said to Abu Salama al-Hadrami, I used to accompany, stick to the important, the great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether they were immigrants or supporters, muhajirin or ansar. And I would ask them about the campaigns that the Prophet, the battles that the Prophet led. And I asked them what verses of Quran were revealed to the Prophet during those campaigns. And I would not come to any one of them to ask, but be happy that I came to them, because I have a relation. I'm the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said, one day I kept on asking Ubay ibn Ka'b, one of the three. And he said, was one of the well-rooted, knowledgeable Muslims, about what was revealed to the Prophet of Quran in Al-Madinah. So he told me 27 surah were revealed to the Prophet in Al-Madinah, and the rest were revealed to the Prophet in Mecca. You know, there are 114 chapters in Al-Quran. So according to this narration, there are 27 which were revealed to the Prophet in Medina, and the rest were in Mecca. Ikrima mentioned that Ibn Abbas said, when the Prophet died, I said to one of Al-Ansar, let's go and ask the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today they are many, so let's go and take advantage of asking them. So this man from Al-Ansar said to Ibn Abbas, so you think the people need you? So I left him, and then, means I didn't listen to him, I went and I asked the companions, you know, because they were there. And I would, you know, go to the person that I know he has knowledge. I would go to his place, and he would be, for example, napping, and I just sit at his door, and the wind would be blowing at me, blowing sand, because it's desert, it's not like here. And I would just sit there, he would finish his, you know, nap, and he comes out, and he sees me, and he says, oh, cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what brought you? Why don't you send for me and I'll come to you? Just let me know that you need me and I'll come to you. You don't have to come to me. Yeah, because of their respect, because he's the cousin of the Prophet. He said, no, I deserve that I come to you. I should come to you because I'm seeking knowledge. So I come to the knowledge, not the knowledge come to me. So, and then I would ask him about the hadith that I want and so on. Now, this man, Ibn Abbas told him, let's go and ask. And he said, don't worry about it. Just think people need you and so on. Or, you know, they will miss you. He said, this man lived long enough to see that people coming to me asking me. So he came, lived long enough to see how I became knowledgeable, and people now, they come to me to ask me instead of me going asking people. So this man would say about Ibn Abbas, this young man was wiser than me. Means he took advantage of asking the prophets, the companions of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. Al-Imam al-Sha'bi said, one time Zayd ibn Thabit was mounting an animal. Zayd ibn Thabit is one of the young people too who had a lot of knowledge, especially in the subject of inheritance. He is known the most companion, the companion with the most knowledge about the issue of inheritance. He would tell you who gets what and why and so on. So, and he was one of the scribes of the Quran, writers of the Quran during the time of the Prophet and during the time of Uthman and Abu Bakr and so on. So he was a very knowledgeable man, companion of the Prophet. So Ibn Abbas, when Zayd ibn Thabit was mounting, Ibn Abbas came to him and he grabbed the stirrup of the of the animal. You know how when people ride, they put their foot somewhere to stay on the animal, the stirrup. So he, like as if he held to the foot of Zayd, not the foot itself, the stirrup. But that's what he did. So Zayd was like, felt uncomfortable because he said, don't do that, O cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Means, I don't deserve it. Why are you doing this? Because this is humiliation. He's humbling himself to Zayd. He is not mounting, he's on the ground. And Zayd is, so Zayd felt uncomfortable that the cousin of the Prophet doing this to him, or, you know, out of respect. So Abdullah ibn Abbas said, هَكَذَا أُمِرْنَا أَن نَفْعَلَ بِعُلَمَائِنَا. He said, this is what we were ordered to do with our scholars. I'm just following the teachings. So Zayd ibn Thabit kissed the hand of Abdullah ibn Abbas, and he said, and this is how we were ordered to do with the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَهَكَذَا أُمِرْنَا أَن نَفْعَلَ بِأَهْلِ بَيْتِ نَبِيِّنَا sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, we'll continue to say more things next time about this great man, Abdullah ibn Abbas, رضي الله عنهما والله سبحانه وتعالى أعلم لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم